Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just this morning, riding here, coming into church this morning, I listened to a bunch of different things on the radio, and I was listening to some rock and roll, and I heard an old Beatles song, Strawberry Fields Forever, and there's a line in this song, it goes, living is easy with eyes closed. It sure is. We wouldn't have to see such pain and misery that befalls many of God's good people. We probably wouldn't witness firsthand destruction and hatred and good people experiencing violence. And we'd probably never get to be able to come close to anyone else like we do our loved ones that mean so much to us. Yesterday, a few of us attended a workshop concerning the care of souls. It was about helping others cope with their losses. Losses like a house being torn down by a tornado, or the person who unexpectedly loses his job, or most importantly, helping others deal with the loss of a loved one. Believe it or not, this condition transforms all faith, all denominations. And all are best helped with guidance from Christ. It was somewhat ironic that we attended this particular workshop right now on the eve of the day that we celebrate All Saints' Day. So today, here in the church, we observe All Saints' Day. The actual day was Tuesday, November 1st. It's a day that's been observed by the church since about the early 5th century. Different churches understand its significance in slightly different ways. But for Lutherans like you and I, this day is to remember those who have gone before us in the faith, and for us to rejoice in the unity that exists between the church militant, which is life here in this earth, and the church triumphant, which is all the saints who live in glory and splendor in heaven. In many ways, All Saints' Day is one of the most beautiful observances of the church year because it reminds us of our connectedness with each other. It reminds us of our connectedness to those who have gone before us in the faith. There is, after all, only one church, that which is composed of the living and the dead. We all gather before the throne of God to sing our endless praise for the victory he has given us in his life, death, and resurrection. Indeed, we concur with St. John, who gives us the revelation of glory this morning. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. For the church militant, you and I, as we're gathered here this morning, our praises ascend to God above, even though we continue to cope with the awful sting of death. We praise God because our Lord Jesus identifies with and connects himself to our grief in the very face of death. Oh, but on that last day, our Lord Jesus Christ will come again with a loud shout, with a strong command, and all the graves must release those we love who have died in him. And from among our own little flock here at Zion, we'll hear names like Robert, Max, Sammy, Jim. those who have just died this past year. This morning, the Apostle John gives us even more hope as we struggle to deal with our losses. God saw fit to have the apostle write down the vision granted him by our Lord. And it's more than a word of hope. It's more than mere words of what shall be one day. John imprints on our minds a picture of the eschaton, our God's final victory in Christ Jesus, our Lord, his only begotten Son, providing the fulfillment of all things, our deliverance from sin, death, and the devil, as well as providing us the unity that exists between the church militant and the church triumphant. For many people, the book of Revelation is a bit of a mystery, with all of its images and all of its symbols that it has. Some have even bemoaned that the fact that the final book of the Bible is not very comforting as a picture of Christ and his church. It's scary, some say. And yet, properly understood, the book of Revelation gives us great comfort in the face of our many tribulations and our distress. Remember now, when the book of Revelation was written, the church was facing persecution and distress of every kind. The Apostle John had suffered losses of every kind. All the other disciples were gone. Some were crucified. Some were burned. Some were stoned to death. Some of them were even sawn in two. God came to John with these visions at the core of these visions is the central theme, okay? There's one central theme to the vision that John was given. God wins. God has won. Sin, death, and the devil are defeated. The church reigns triumphant, and she enjoys an eternity with Christ, him who loved her unto death, even death upon a cross. In Revelation chapter 7 that we hear this morning, John gives us a glimpse of that eternal glory that is ours in Christ Jesus. One could very easily close your eyes and picture in your mind this one whom you have loved, now in death. Yet you can see them as they enjoy the victory that is theirs too in Jesus Christ. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Even as our God dries the tears of those in the church triumphant, he dries our tears as well. Grieve not, my dear friends, for those who know face to face what we can only know dimly as in a mirror. God wins. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as you and I wait for the great day of reunion, where those departed in death are joined again before the throne of the Lamb, take comfort. in the unity of the church militant and the church triumphant. Not long ago, a woman lost her daughter in death. As one might expect, she grieved tremendously over this loss. Parents aren't supposed to bury their children. At one point, she went to her pastor to express her sorrow. The pastor, of course, had no magical remedy to take away the woman's pain. He spoke of the resurrection and the life of the world yet to come. The woman, of course, was comforted by this promise, but she still said, "Pastor, I'm grateful that my daughter is in heaven and at peace. The problem is, I want her here with me now." Such is the pain and sin of sin and death. Fortunately, the pastor believed firmly that which we confess in the celebration of the Lord's Supper, like what you and I will share in just a few moments, namely that we, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify the Lord's glorious name. So the pastor said to this woman who grieved the loss of her daughter, he said, "When you come here to this communion rail, God unites you with your daughter in a way that your eyes cannot see. As surely as your neighbor kneels beside you at the rail, so your daughter joins you in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. And for you who grieve the loss of a loved one just this past year, you too will commune right next to them this morning." Oh, that our eyes could see the true unity of the church expressed so beautifully at the Lamb's High Feast. Take comfort, my dear friends in Christ. Take comfort in that unity you have with your loved one who has gone before you in Christ. Take comfort in both having shared earthly joys with loved ones, and take comfort in the loss of a child, a brother or sister, a mother or father, a husband or a wife, or a friend. For they, like all the rest of the church, join in that endless song of praise to Jesus Christ, who loved them unto death, even death from a cross. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise.